Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman right here at blogtalkradio.com. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to come to you just to share with you for 1 hour out of your day, 1 hour on a Saturday, as we have finished the work week and we're preparing for worship on tomorrow, and a lot of us are busy running around on Saturdays, but I just pray that you will take your cell phone with you and take the phone number with you. The phone number is 646-652-4832, and you can always listen to me on your Bluetooth while you're driving in your car. And some of you have the cars right now where you can actually put your cell phone in and have everything be on speakerphone. So take me with you on Saturdays and plug me in, amen, and listen to what the Lord has to say on this day and every single Saturday through the woman of God, yours truly, amen. I do not count my call lightly. I do not take the call that God has on my life lightly. I just do what I do, amen, and a lot of what I do is out of obedience to God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when God is telling you to do something, you might not be able to figure out how that's going to make any sense or how you're going to have success in that area. But guess what, my sister, and even my brother, because I know that men too are tuning into Woman to Woman, but guess what? You don't have to figure it out. It's not up to you to figure out what God's trying to do. God is taking you someplace. Go ahead and tell yourself, God is taking me someplace, and I'm going. I'm going. Go ahead. You can talk to yourself. They always say, tell your neighbor. When we're in the church, we say, tell your neighbor. But I want you to tell yourself that God is taking me someplace, and I am going with him. Amen. I'm going with God. I'm going with God, and today I want to talk to you about success and having the faith to succeed. So many people are losing out in life. So many people are losing out on the great plan that God has for their lives. But God wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And the Lord tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Don't you try to figure it out, but know that God knows the plans that he has for you. He said, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And what is God saying to you right there? God is saying that I am going to prosper you. Guess what? With or without your consent, if you continue to walk with God, he shall prosper you. Amen. He shall give you great success. So listen, this is going to be a power-packed hour, and I just want you to let some people know that they can call in to listen or talk. I'll be taking calls later on in the broadcast, but they can call in to 646-652-4832, or they can go on over to blogtalkradio.com/power to listen to the live feed, to listen to the live broadcast. Internet radio is the way to go. Amen. Because we're reaching so many people with the word of God. Tell some people, go on Facebook, go to Twitter, go to your email list and to your networking websites and tell somebody about Woman to Woman. Amen. Because listen, my sister, life sometimes gets difficult. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all of the things that we aspire to do. We have our dreams, we have our aspirations, things that we want to do in life, things that God has put upon our hearts as life goals in order to give him the glory in our lives. So we know that we're all working towards a common goal, which is to make sure that God gets the glory in our lives. And while we're doing that, we still have to get up every day and go to our jobs or even go out to endeavor in our goals and endeavor in our purposes to endeavor to fulfill our dreams. We have to serve in ministry at the church. We have husbands, some of us, and children. So it's not easy doing what you do, and I recognize that. Believe me, my hand is raised in salute to you to be the woman of God, to keep moving forward, to do the things that God has called you to do. When God made woman, he outdid himself, because not only did he make us beautiful, but he made us smart, he gave us wisdom, he gave us power, and he gave us the plan that he has for his life to use us for his glory. So I'm growing forward. I don't know about you, but listen, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't get tired. I'm here to be the hands in the middle of your back, the wind beneath your sails, to move you forward and say, yes, you can. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's too soon to quit. Yes, you can have, be, and do all that God has called you to have, be, and do. Amen. So to God be the glory. I feel some life coming up into your sails right now. I feel the Spirit of the Lord beginning to provoke you not to quit. Don't quit. I know it's hard. I know that there are people coming against you, people that don't believe in you, people that are talking about you. You have to stand up to the lies and accusations. And even with yourself, you have to face your own doubts, fears, and insecurities. But guess what, baby? As long as you have God on your side, you cannot fail. So hold on. Hold on. I want to give you inspiration in your faith. I want to inspire you in the area of your faith. And I'm going to do that. If you stay with me, I guarantee you, when you leave here, you will feel a lot better about your ability to do everything that God has called you to do. And the fact that God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, you cannot lose. Listen, women of God, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just keep moving forward. Amen and praise God. So, again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I want to invite you out to our church to worship with us. We're at New Creation Christian Ministries in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We call ourselves the Kingdom Church, not because it's cute, but because it's what it is. Amen. We have a heart to please God. We love the Lord with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. And we're looking forward to great things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said for them to pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So I want God's will to be done on earth. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I missed something. I want to make sure that I'm being used up for the kingdom of God, that when I meet God face to face, I can say to him, my storage is empty. Yes, and I have been available to you. Amen. Amen. We got to get to the point where we say, God, I used up everything that you gave me. I didn't take my talents like the man who was scared in the parable that Jesus told. I didn't take my talents and bury them in the ground, but I used everything that you had given me, everything that you gave me, I used it. Amen. Don't go there half full. You know, go there empty. Go to heaven empty. Amen. Meet God with everything on E. Like I have poured out, like Paul said, I have fought the good faith. I'm so excited. Paul said, let me slow down. Pray for me. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Amen. And now I'm going home. Amen. Paul knew that his time was up. But even in prison, even when Paul was in prison, Paul kept preaching. Paul kept writing letters. He wrote letters from prison. Paul never gave up. He never quit. Jesus, even when Jesus knew that he was headed to his death, when they came to him and said, Jesus, turn back, the Pharisees came in Luke 13. They said, Jesus, turn back. Herod's coming and he's going to kill you. What did Jesus say? He looked at them, he probably laughed, and he said, tell that fox that I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing until my purpose is fulfilled. And he said, surely, and I'm paraphrasing, He said, I'm going to heal some folk. I'm going to cast out some demons. He said, I'm going to keep going today and tomorrow. He said, because I have to meet my goal. I have to fulfill my purpose. And what he said was, surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. In other words, he was saying, my goal, my purpose is to go to Jerusalem to die for humanity. I'm going to be hung on. I'm going to be beaten and spit on and talked about. I'm going to be hung on the cross, crucified, and then I'm going to hang my head and die. They're going to bury me in an unused tomb. But guess what? And on the third day, I'm getting up from there, and I'm going to show myself mighty and show people that God is able to raise up even the deadest of situations, that God is able to resurrect any situation, that it's not over until my Father says it's over. He said, and then after I've shown myself, I'm going to ascend to the right hand of my Father. Amen. So Jesus knew his purpose, and that's what I'm saying. We are disciples of Christ. You, my sister, have to know your purpose. You have to know what God has for you to do, and then you have to be determined to go ahead and do what God has called you to do. No more excuses. No more excuses. Amen. Amen, and praise God. So I want to invite you to come and worship with us. We're at NCCM, the Kingdom Church, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our service time is 11 o'clock a.m., and we are on purpose. Amen. We are a church that's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We love Jesus. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. You have pastors after God's own heart. I pastor with my husband. I co-pastor with my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. And we are empowering people, God's people, for success. Amen. Amen, and praise God. So let's look at this before I start taking calls, because I do want you to call me later and let me know how your faith is working in the area of your success. So my question for you today is, how is your faith working or not working in the area of your success? But here I want to talk about faith to succeed. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We worship you, and we magnify your name today. I thank you for this Blog Talk Radio talk station, and I thank you, Lord, for the ability for me to even begin to form the words to encourage women and men of God in their purpose, oh God. So, Lord, use me on this during this hour. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can I tell you a secret? Let me tell you a secret. I don't always get it right, and I don't always feel like doing what God has called me to do. And guess what? I don't always feel like I'm able to do what God has called me to do. You know, there are sometimes I used to. I'm not scared anymore because I had to meditate on that scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. But I used to be scared. I used to be scared. So if you're scared today, listen, one of the things that will block you from your success is fear. So write that down. Fear is a success blocker. If you are afraid, fear has the power to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And listen, let me just make this clear, because sometimes when we think about what God has called us to do, we think about what he's called. We think about doing something in the church. We think about the fivefold ministry. We think about being an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle or a preacher or a teacher or even a evangelist, apostle, prophet, teacher, and, what's the other word? Amen. Or an apostle. Amen. Evangelist, prophet, teacher, apostle, and pastor. Amen. So we think about one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And listen, did you just hear what happened? I don't always get it right. I want you to get this. Amen. Don't be so hung up on perfection. Listen, and let me tell you something else. Don't be so hung up on what other people think about you. And let me say something else. don't try so hard to please the crowd. Please God. Don't be, see, if I wanted to really please the people that are listening, and I do want you to get something out of this, but ultimately, I have to make sure that I'm pleasing God. In other words, I can tell you all of the stuff that you want to hear, and God will not be pleased. So I have to make sure that I'm telling you the things that I know God would want you to hear so that God can be pleased. In other words, maintain your integrity. That's another thing to write down. I'm going to give you the little, as I'm talking, because I'm not speaking from a script. So as I'm talking, I'll be giving you little tidbits of information, nuggets of wisdom. Don't try to be so perfect all of the time, because guess what? Your aspiration for perfection can block you. Listen, because you can get out there and try to do something inside the church. Like I said, do what God has called you to do. It not only pertains to inside of the church, but it also pertains to the marketplace, which is your job, your family, your neighborhood, community services. Wherever you go, you should be doing what God has called you to do, which is letting your light shine so that men and women can look upon your life and know that there is a God, amen, and want what you have. Be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Wherever you go, add some flavor, amen, and turn the light on in some dark situations, amen. But let's narrow it down. Let me narrow it down, okay? Whether you're doing something in the church or whether you're doing something in the marketplace, like starting your own business, or going for the top of the corporate ladder, going to be a CEO in somebody else's corporation or being a director or going for that next promotion or even doing your day-to-day job, whatever that job may be, to the best of your ability. Listen, it's good to strive for excellence, but it's not good to strive for perfection. Amen. Because perfection means that I always get everything right and I never make a mistake. That will mess you up. Striving for excellence means that I'm going to do the best, the very, very, very best that I can. And if I make a mistake, I will acknowledge that mistake and make note of it and then correct it so that when I go back to do that same thing again, I won't make the same mistake. Okay, that's something else to write down. Success is not necessarily whether or not you get it right perfectly. Success is more whether or not you get it right in the spirit of excellence. Amen. So how do I – but back up, Pastor Rebecca, you might say. You might be saying, back it up. How do I have faith to even succeed? You talked up. You might be saying, well, you talked about having your own business, going to the top of the corporate ladder, being a director, being a VP in somebody's company, a CEO, doing my best on my everyday job where I'm getting great reviews. Do you know those job reviews that we get sometimes where they rate you? Listen, don't be so concerned with what they're putting on paper. And don't be so concerned as to be working towards getting a good review, but be concerned about pleasing God and letting God get the glory in everything that you do. In other words, let God's level of excellence, meaning that you have integrity, what's integrity? Integrity is who you are and what you're doing when no one is looking or listening. When you could get away with anything, what would you be doing? If you're faced with $1 million sitting on a table and you walk into the room and you know that million dollars is not yours, and you walk into the room and you're the only one there and nobody else is in the room with you, and the money is just laying on the table, and some of it's on the floor, and some of it's on the couch, but it's just money laying there, a whole bunch of money. Would you be tempted to pick up a few hundred dollars or a couple thousand? I mean, would you put some of that money in your pocket, or would you just let the money sit there knowing that it's not your money? Let me tell you, the temptation will come to compromise your integrity, but I want to encourage you to always take the high road. Amen. But, because temptation is there, and it's not easy to resist temptation. So I want you to write this down. Resist temptation at all costs. Even if you have bills to pay, it is not a blessing that you walked into the room and saw that $1 million sitting on the table. That money is not yours. Amen. Well, God bless me. I walked into the room and there was $1 million. There was nobody there, so I just started filling my pockets. And then you have to run and hide and look behind your back and hope and pray that nobody saw you. And what if there was a hidden camera? What if somebody was testing your integrity? And guess what? Guess what? Somebody is testing your integrity, and that person is God. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Let me read a scripture about faith, having faith to succeed. And then I'm going to be opening up the phone lines for those who want to put in a comment or question regarding faith to succeed. Because as quiet as it's kept, your being in the kingdom of God is not about just making it from week to week so you can go to church and praise the Lord and go home and then nothing happens the rest of the week. Live in a state of expectation where you are constantly, which means that you are always expecting great things from the Lord. Go ahead and write that down. Live in a state of expectation where you are constantly, which means always, at all times, expecting great things from the Lord. Because guess what? As you're walking with the Lord, it is his great pleasure to bless you. Ah, come on, come on. God desires to bless you, which means that he wants to bless you, your children, your husband, your household, your, you know, everything that you do, your business, your workplace, your money, your finances. Yes, God wants you to be blessed in the area of your finances. And listen, I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more, and then we're going to, I'm going to really hammer this home. Hebrews chapter 11, and we all know that this is the faith chapter. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 says, starting with verse 1, and it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then it goes on to say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In verse 5, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, did you get that? Come on. Come on. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. First, we must believe that God is. We must believe that God exists, because if we don't have that kind of faith, then we're on our own. A lot of people are making it on their own. Listen, Oprah Winfrey, she made it on her own she has success. So I'm not saying that you cannot, what she has with the world, okay, she has what the world defines to be success. But listen, I was watching a clip on the internet about when Oprah had this lady on her show, and the lady she wrote a book. The book, the title of the book is Women, Weight Loss, and God, or something like that. I don't know. But Oprah endorsed this book, and Oprah said she would never diet again. And they got close, but they did not want to equate God with the God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. They wanted to equate God with being whatever God or whoever you wanted God to be. That's not what Hebrews is saying. The book of Hebrews is saying that you must believe in the God of the Bible, Jehovah, amen, the great I am, amen, El Shaddai, amen, the God of the Bible. We must believe in the God that created the universe, the God who loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son so that whomsoever would believe on him would not perish, but will have eternal life. So we have to believe in the God of our Bible, because he's the one who has given us the logos, the written word, so that we can stand on the logos. Listen, you can stand on the word of God and believe in God for the promises of God. And the word of God says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, when you have faith, through that faith, you can manifest the substance. You can manifest what you're hoping for. You can manifest, like if I believe in God and I believe in the power of God and I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost that works on the inside of me, then I can be successful in ministry. I can be successful in corporate America. I can be successful in my own business. You can be successful in everything that you put your hand to as long as you have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You must keep hope alive. Don't give up. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on what God has deposited on the inside of you, like he gave Joseph a dream. God gave Joseph a dream, and Joseph went and told his brothers the dream. His brothers hated him because he had a dream, and his brothers threw him in a pit. Listen, people may throw you in a pit. I said this before. They may not believe in your dream, but don't you give up on the dream. You keep pushing. You keep moving forward. You keep believing. You keep hoping. You keep endeavoring to fulfill what God has put on the inside of you, and you will make it. God's word will not come back to him void. Come on. God is going to let you succeed to the point where people will look at you and say, how in the world did she do that? How in the world did she have such great success? She was on welfare. She was a drug addict. She went to jail. She was a hoochie mama whore standing on the corner. But look at her now. Look at what God is doing through her life. Listen, God is going to get, she was a teenage mother. She was divorced. Her husband walked out on her. She never could keep a man. But look at her now. Listen, glory, hallelujah. God is going to show up and show out in your life, and all that he's asking you to do is believe. Come on. Come on, somebody. God is asking you to believe. Just believe. Believe in him, and then believe in the dream that he has put on the inside of you. You not only have a dream, my sister, but if you believe and have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I can't say this any other way because this is what I live by. I can't make it no plainer or no less plain. All I can say is through Jesus Christ, you truly can do all things. You can do all things, not some things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I wasn't feeling that well yesterday, but I kept pushing. Listen, because sickness has no hold on me. And even today, I'm having a hard time breathing. But guess what? I'm fulfilling the dream. Listen, I'm fulfilling my purpose. God called me to preach the gospel. God called me to encourage my sisters. God called me to write books that would encourage my sisters and my brothers. God gave me a mouth. I'm a mouthpiece for the Lord. Listen, Listen, whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Know that God gave you that thing. And if God gave it to you, guess what? Write this down. Then God has given you the power to do it. Listen, and that means that you have to press through the obstacles. Listen, do you hear me? Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I am so excited because I know I'm planting a seed in the lives of so many today that is going to give birth to some stuff. Listen, last week God allowed me to encounter some people that I hadn't seen in a while, but these are people that he allowed me to pour into because I talk. I just talk. I love to talk. Amen. So I know what my gift is. Do you know what yours is? Whatever your gift is, that is a big part of your purpose. Come on, write it down. Write it down. Whatever your gift is, whatever your passion is, that is a big part of your purpose. Listen, I'm just talking from my heart today because this is what God has put in me. You hear? Do you hear what I'm saying? What God has called you to do is in you. It's already in you. It's already in you. You already have it in you. Joseph had a dream. It was in him. And he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, went over to Potiphar's house, was given favor over there, accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. My God, was left there interpreting some dreams, helping some people out there, the baker and the baker and the butler interpreted some dreams, told them not to forget about them, him when they got out. They got out, they forgot about him, so he just had to sit. Sometimes you just have to wait on the Lord. Oh, come on. Sometimes you just have to wait on the Lord. But while you're waiting, have faith. Listen. While Joseph was going through what he was going through, he never gave up the dream. He never gave up on his faith that he could do what God had called him to do. Who am I talking to out there? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen. Do not grow weary while you're on the road to fulfilling the dream that God has put on the inside of you. I'm here to blow on your dream. I'm here to breathe life into your dream. I'm here to pick you up and say, get up, girl. Get up from there. Get up, get up, get up, get up from that bed of doubt and discouragement and depression. Get up. You have work to do. You have too much to do to be sitting around talking about, well, I don't know, because nobody likes me, and people are always talking about me. Everybody's against me. But guess what? Some of the greatest men, if you keep reading Hebrews, Let me slow down. If you keep reading Hebrews, what you realize is that some of the greatest men and women of God who have had success in completing their goal, completing their purpose, they were talked about. They were talked down to. They were mistreated. Amen. And even Jesus Christ was spit on, you know, and beaten, you know, and hung on the cross. Listen. People are not going to like you. Sometimes when you are on purpose and you just got a made-up mind, do you have a made-up mind today? I just want you to just say, I got a made-up mind. I got a made-up mind. You know, if you just have a made-up mind, listen, the God has already given you. You got God. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You got dunamis, which is equivalent to dynamite. You're combustible. If you would just dare to tap into the faith to believe. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's why I'm here. I'm here with Ramus, that word for word in the book of Romans chapter 11. It tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing, that means I'm receiving an utterance. I'm receiving spoken words into my ear. The word for word, the Greek word, the lexicon is logos. I mean, not logos, rhema. Rhema. So that word is rhema, which is a spoken utterance, which means that I am yelling at you, I am preaching to you, I am exhorting you, I am saying that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in the world. The devil can't do nothing with your dream. The devil can't steal your dream. The devil can't take your dream. The devil can't stop your dream. The devil can't stop you from having success. This is Rhema. I'm giving you Rhema. I'm here for one reason. I'm fulfilling my purpose to bring Rhema. I'm bringing Rhema, the spoken word that will increase your faith for you to keep moving forward with what you have on the inside of you in order for that thing to be birth, amen. I'm the Elizabeth to your Mary, baby. I'm Joseph's mother to the mother of Mary. The mother of Jesus, too. You know, I'm just here saying, look, what's on the inside of me is here to quicken what's on the inside of you. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. It is not his desire that just one person would get all of the limelight. I don't care. I don't care how they act. I know people act like they're the only ones anointed. Come on. Like they're the only ones that God has given to do something. I'm talking about in the church and even in corporate America, on your job, wherever you go. Listen, there are more people, and I have a hand raised too. There are more people in this world than just the people that we see on TV getting the glory. It's not about us getting the glory. It's about God getting the glory. Amen. Amen and praise God. So I read some Hebrews, and I'm going to take some calls. But before I take some calls, I'm going to take some calls because I see a hand raised. Listen, when I put you on the air, if you don't want to speak, just say, I'm just listening. Don't hang up, because if you hang up, you're going to miss the rest of the broadcast. And listen, I already told you in the beginning that fear will block you. So if you have a question, just because we're on the air, I've been doing this for a few years now, and I love it. But just because we are on the air, that does not mean that you're going to get all nervous, right, and that you're not going to be able to talk. Because part of having faith to succeed is being bold and courageous. And that's what God told Joshua. The Lord told Joshua to be strong and of good courage, to be bold and courageous, amen. So, listen, God's getting ready to do something great in your life, and I'm speaking to everybody that's listening right now. Listen to me. The very fact that you are listening means that God has put something on the inside of you that you feel like you need faith to do. What God has given you to do often looks bigger than your ability or capability to do that thing. And guess what? Often it is bigger than your ability. But guess what? The fact that you have been given dunamis, that means dynamite, that means that you have been given the power to succeed. Dunamis, one of the definitions, is power to succeed. Everything that you do in life, being that you have been given dunamis means that you can do it. But you must rely on the Lord. When I brought up a point about Oprah, I saw Oprah and she was crying. Oprah has great success, but she denies the Christ for now. Amen. I believe that she will come back to Christ. But she was crying and she was saying every time, she said, no matter how great I am, she says, I'm great. I got all these millions of dollars and all these people love me. She said, but there are still times when I have to say no to people, that I think about the times when my grandmother beat me. And Oprah was in tears. And let me tell you, Oprah is in bondage. Because listen, in order for us to move forward and receive everything that God has for us, we have to allow God to heal us of the pain of the past. Amen. Let God heal you. And that's all I have to say about that. I love Oprah. I think she's a great woman. I believe God's going to, you know, I believe he's going to save her. Amen. And bring her back to himself. Amen. So that she can be healed. Amen. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I just want you to just talk to me. I do see a hand raised. Amen. And I'm just going to take that call and see what God has to say through this person. You're on the air, area code 111. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Yes, good morning, Sister Rebecca. I was just listening to your obviously good broadcast here. And what I would like to focus on, I know you deal with life and relationships and love and this sort of thing. I hear what you're saying, and it's good, but understand this. Since there's a higher divorce rate in the church than in the general population, I don't know if you are aware of that, but obviously people aren't getting the message. And God says he hates divorce, and God is very, very interested in relationships. He was the first matchmaker. He brought the man and woman together. So the problem is that men and women are not coming together and understanding each other and what they need to do in order to have successful relationships. And this is probably more true in the black community than it is other communities, because you have black women saying that 70% of them who are allegedly successful aren't in relationships. So I think rather than, it's fine talking about the Holy Spirit and this kind of stuff, but realize, and I've met a lot of church people, they have no idea how to apply that, because God says, come, let us reason. The Bible talks a lot about reason. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, prove everything. And see, we're not doing that. We're not following the principles of the Bible, because the Bible is not just a general book. It is a book of specificity. And we're not being specific about what it says as applied to what we need to do.
Amen. Amen. Some of us are not. I agree with you.
And most of us are not. And this I don't mean to cut you off, but this is the thing I would like to raise. The biggest problem we have is the male and female are out of alignment. Now, my position has been, and I'll go through this really quickly, my position has been with women advancing in the workforce. I don't know if you work a regular job or not, but you know a lot of women that do. They go to college. This wasn't true 40, 45 years ago. This has been true as of late. And nobody in the church with any guts will stand up and say women should not fulfill their dreams in whatever direction their abilities carry them. Okay, that's fine. But now I would like to propose something else, because we've done all this innovation in education and the workplace vis-a-vis women. Now let's talk about relationships. Women will sit back and not do anything. They'll claim this, they'll misinterpret the Bible. For example, they'll say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Let's deal with that just a little bit. It also says he who finds a prudent wife finds a good thing. But if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses, I believe, 13 through 21, it talks about the standards for a virgin. So those rules, if you want to be accurate, specifically refer to virgins, that is, physical virgins. There was a bona fide test for virgins in the Old Testament.
Right,
the other thing is, I like to use the example of Ruth. Ruth was a very quality, noble, and woman of character, and she was instructed by Naomi to approach Boaz. That's in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 6.
Yes.
And I think since most women are not virgins today, I think they should apply the principle of Ruth, where they initiate with a man. Men are afraid of rejection too. Now, a lot won't step up and say that, but they say it by not doing it. They're just by avoiding it. So women have the advantage, and at the end of stepping up and talking to men, opening a conversation, there's nothing wrong with that. And so men have been beaten down. Everything you hear about men is often bad. And so with sexual harassment, some women say, well, men are harassing us on the street. Well, we've got to meet. That's imperative. We need to prioritize that. So what I suggest to women is to start initiating. And you have all this money. It's not just for buying shoes and going shopping. Set up a dating budget. In other words, apply some specificity. God can't
Let me interrupt you, because you've just gone on a monologue here. I do appreciate your call. Who am I speaking with?
This is Richard.
Richard. Okay,
yes.
Richard. Okay, so I do appreciate your call, and you're saying, and you know, you're right in line with the topic, which is faith to succeed. Now,
right.
I was talking about faith, which comes through, I was talking about the faith having the ability to believe that you can be successful. Let me just break it down and be specific.
Right, but faith without works is dead.
Listen to me. I've listened to you.
That
you have the faith to believe that you can be successful in every area of life. Yes, and I do believe and I do know that there is a high divorce rate in the church, and that bothers me. It should bother me because I'm a woman of a child of God. Sin should bother every child of God. So, yes, I agree with that. I agree that there are a lot of single women in the church. I agree with that also, and I do agree that Ruth actually did initiate the proposal from Boaz. She asked Boaz, I want you to redeem me. I want you to go ahead and be my husband. So, yes, and Boaz did marry her. So those we agree on. Now, another thing that I agree is that there is not enough of the following of the principles of the Bible that we Christians, I don't know if you're Christian or not, but a lot of Christians are not obeying God. That's it in a nutshell. So, yeah, so what is the solution? The solution is that we just begin to repent, turn from our own ways, our own evil ways in most cases, and just do what God is telling us to do. Now, true, a lot of us women are not virgins anymore, but does that mean that we're not a good thing? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we're not the wife? If you look at that Greek word for wife, it means a woman that a man marries. It doesn't specifically apply to her being a virgin, although in Deuteronomy, back in those days, most women were virgins, and there was a test to verify that she was a virgin. So, but no, we're not all virgins, and I have a good husband. I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband who took me, and I was all messed up. And he took me to be his wife. He honored me enough to marry me. So, yes, I have a wonderful husband. I work in the church. I pastor a church, and I have a job. And I worked 18 years in corporate America. So I know what it's like to aspire for success. And, no, I would not tell any woman not to go after her dreams. I believe that if God tells if the woman has a desire in her heart to go out and have a successful career, then, yes, she should do that. But at the same token, I also believe that women should submit to their husbands. So we can talk for a whole nother hour because you've got the right one. You're talking to a woman who believes the Bible and who believes that there is decency and an order in God's word. And that God's word, what I'm saying on this broadcast today, and I do have to take another call, I forgot about this caller. What I'm saying, Richard, is that we can apply the word of God, the principles in his book, in the Bible, to our lives and be successful. And if you know the word, look at Joshua. That's the scripture that I was going to read, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He tells them to take this word and meditate on this word, but not just meditate on the word, but do the word, and then he should make his way successful. So that's what I'm encouraging women to do. Not only just to say, is mine, the world is mine, and my husband is under my feet. No, you're out of order. But to say that me and my husband together as one can have great success. So I just appreciate your call. I just thank you so much for calling. I'm going to take another comment from you. If you want, you can stay with me. But I do have to take another call, so bear with me.
Sure.
678, you're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
Hello, Miss Pastor Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm good. This is Gazelle Simmons.
Oh, Gazelle, how are you? God bless you.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
I knew I was for a reason today.
I absolutely no idea what that reason was. Until, you know, I was sitting here listening, going, yes, the Lord is blessing. I appreciate everything. And then I heard my dear brother Richard, and I thought to myself, aspire to be Ruth. However, okay, for a long time, I looked for everything else but that aspiration. And according to Richard, I'm disqualified from being considered wife material. And I have to ask myself, why would he say something like that as a brother of Christ? And then it dawned on me, whenever there's a blessing coming, okay, there's always someone who wants to discourage you from catching that blessing. And I just realized that people like Richard are the reason why I haven't been on a date in 5 years. The reason why I divorced my husband. Why? Because he chose to believe that the life of the world was what was for him. But today I come and let people know God is good all the time, and his word does not come back void. Now, if Richard wants a virgin, I wish him luck finding one, okay? But if he's looking for a virgin, he should be a virgin looking for one. And if he can't fulfill that, then he shouldn't look for what he can't give. Because my Bible says you give to get. He can't give it, so he really shouldn't look to get it. And then to be so uninformed as to say women should stay home. Honey, I have 2 children to take care of. Why? Because their father won't do it. Why won't he do it? Not because he can't got a good job working for the government, but because he chooses not to. And yes, he decided he needed to have children outside of marrying me. He dishonored me. Should I allow that to make me disqualified to be a woman of God? I think not. So today I say to you, Richard, if you're really truly looking for a woman of God, you need to tell God. Virgin.
Yes, Sister Rebecca, I hope
someone,
you stand up.
Send me
someone. I hope you stand up for the truth, not for me. But that woman didn't reference what I said in the slightest. I don't know where she's coming from.
No, why? You have to ask yourself why you have not found what you are looking for. See, God sends you what you need when you need it. So the person you need to be talking to is not Pastor Rebecca. It's not me. It's God. You need to seek from God while you have not found what you're looking for. Because I'm here to let you know when the time is right. Ecclesiastes says there's a season for everything. Richard, if your season is here, it will arrive whether you are ready for it or not. However, in the time that you are waiting for your season, you need to be saying to God, fix in me what needs to be fixed so that when I find what you send me, whether she qualifies as a Deuteronomy virgin or not, let me be grateful and know that you have sent her to me and that this is the person I'm supposed to stand up, put my arm around, and support no matter what. Then and only then will you find what God has for you. Right now, you're looking for what you want. Look for what he wants for you. Because my Bible says a Proverbs 31 woman was a very prosperous woman. She worked outside her home. She took care of everyone who stepped in her path. People spoke good about her. She wasn't beautiful. She wasn't running around in the best of everything, but she took care of everyone. Her husband spoke well of her as he sat in the gate, but it didn't say she sat there with him. It said she was off working because Sister Girl knew what it took from sun up to sundown to run her household. So what you need to look for, Richard, is the God, that woman of God that he has sent you. Don't overlook her because she may not be a virgin. Don't overlook her because she don't look like Halle Berry. You need to look for what God has sent for you. Stop looking for the perfect and look for what he's sending you. Because my Bible says God's way is perfect. Not what we want, not when we want it, not how we want it, but perfect, my son. You need to remember that. Don't come on the air insinuating that we need to go back in time. Deuteronomy's time is no longer with us. We are now in the New Testament. We are now in Jesus, okay? And last I checked, my God says, all in the past he sent as far away as the east from the west. So the fact that I am no longer a virgin, the fact that I was a single mother, none of that matters. The fact that I'm divorced, all of that has gone away and is no longer to be held against me. So, Richard, what you need to ask yourself is, Why are you allowing what used to be to keep you from what you can have now? Think about it, my brother. Concentrate on it. Pray on it. And then look around at all the opportunities you have passed up because they didn't meet that criteria. Think of all the women of God who have stepped across your path that you have said no to because they didn't qualify for whatever method you decided to discard them. And then ask God to remove those hindrances from you from the future. And I guarantee you before the year is out, not only will you have found the woman of God he sent to you, you will get back on this radio station and you will thank Pastor Rebecca for opening up a forum for you to hear the word of God from a real woman of God. See, I take care of my business. I take care of my children. I take care of my household. And I'm standing in faith. Faith, you know that thing that we were supposed to be talking about today? I'm standing in faith
yes.
that God is going to send me the man I'm supposed to have. See, my taste in men is bad, okay? All of them that have come past you, not one of them have been worth anything, including the father of my children. But I'm here to tell you, God is good, and he is going to send me the man I have been waiting for. And nothing and no one, including you, is going to discourage me from knowing that when the time is right, where God has predestined it, there will come a time there will be a man of God to stand next to me. And Pastor Rebecca, I thank you on a regular basis for mentioning that you have a man of God, that you all are walking in faith. You renew
yes.
my hope as I stand and wait that there is someone out there for me. And I stand in faith, not on what I can see, but on what I hope for. Not on what people are telling me, but on what I know. My Bible says God has good plans for me, good plans for a wonderful future that cannot come if I allow people who are lacking in faith to say to me, darling, ain't nothing out there for you. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says to everything there is a season, and my season is coming. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for encouraging me today. Last was a very rough week, and I went through it thinking to myself, what was the purpose? And then I came on here today, and I'm listening to you, and I'm saying to myself, yes, finally I get a chance to come in and listen to my sister. I put your information out. I passed the word on because I know there's a purpose for everything, and today you have blessed me. And my today is to say to you, thank you. For being a blessing. Thank you
Amen.
For never failing to speak the word God has put in your heart. Don't let nothing and nobody keep you from where he has put you at and what he's doing. And he
yes.
is going to continue to use you and your husband mightily. Know that. And if for no other reason but to keep encouraging me and so many other women like me in the faith who see that you and your husband are where they're going to be. So I
yes.
thank you. Don't let that man tell you anything other. You are speaking to the word. The reason for divorce in church is the devil is busy. Point,
yes.
end, period, sentence, that's exactly what it is. And the devil's more busy in the church than he is with those he already got on their way to meet him. So that's the reason why our divorce rate is going up. Secondly, people take the Bible and use it for an excuse, want to hold people back, want to hold people down, want to pass judgment. That's not what God's word is for. You make him weep when you use his word as a reason not to uplift your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not what he sent it here for. He sent that Bible to edify, not to vilify. So when you say to yourself, well, the Bible says, what you really need to ask yourself is, am I reading what my father really sent this to say? Am I thinking in the way he really wanted this to mean? Meditate on it. If you think on the word, if you approach the word as this is the goal that I'm supposed to be following, this is how I'm supposed to live, this is how I'm supposed to talk to my brothers and sisters, this
yes.
is how I'm supposed to work. Then when you speak and reflect Jesus to others, you'd be surprised who walks up and speaks to you. So I
Amen.
Thank you today. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you for remembering to invite us. Thank you for the Christian women of power. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. To God be the glory. You are welcome, Gazelle. And I thank you for such an eloquent response. To Richard, who did make a comment earlier while you were speaking that maybe his comments were taken a little bit out of context. Richard, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Now, obviously, this lady is having some issues, but look, I was talking about the subject, and I was speaking about what is the misinterpretation that's often given today where women – you understood – first of all, you understood what I was saying, did you not?
Yes, basically what you were – but I do understand why Gazelle Simmons responded the way that she did, because it came across as if you were saying that women should not be in the workplace going after their dreams and aspirations.
No, that's not what I was saying at all. I was using that as an example as to why women should be more well-rounded in their dating life, just as they – have taken proactive measures with respect to their education and work life. Now, I apologize if I said that in a way that you misunderstood it, but I was using the workplace and women's educational lives as they're being proactive, and I was using the their personal lives with men for the example that they should also be proactive. And I was attempting to dispel the myth that they could say the man should do all the work that they should be assisting him with. Like, women should approach, and that's approach men and say hi and be friendly. And,
okay,
of course, I was using Ruth as the example of that, which I thought you understood.
Yes.
Which I thought I made clear.
Let me ask you a question. Are you married?
No, I'm not, because it is. Remember that 70% of black women claim to be single, and the difficulty is our communicating. If you notice, I don't know if you saw Nightline, where the women got on, the black women, four black women that got on Nightline and said there were no men on their educational and financial level. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Did you hear about it?
I did hear about it.
They were out of Atlanta, and the thing of it is, they should have been talking to men. Nightline is not a black man. They should have been talking to black men. We want to hear what you all have to say. Of course, we don't want to hear your, inappropriate criticism, but if you come to us with legitimate concerns, we want to hear them. But most of the time, it is your taste in men that are the problem. There are many, many good men, as you attest to, one married you, and that's wonderful. But I just want to say that women should share the responsibility of initiating just as Ruth did. That was my example. I wasn't saying that to disparage anybody. That was taking what I said out of context. However, I did say women who say that men exclusively should do all the initiating and putting up with their attitudes, which many women have, that they are not virgins. And that scripture in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, has the test for a virgin. So
right,
I would just simply say, unless a woman is a virgin, she can't demand that men, in context, do all the initiating. That's all I was saying.
Right, that's another discussion. We don't want to even go there. I heard that's why
it's relevant because it's always present in our minds. So
a
lot of women will say, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." And all I'm saying is Deuteronomy and that scripture out of Proverbs were contemporary, and they mean the same thing. Now, I'm not all upset like the woman was.
Let me ask you another question. I want to ask you another question that's very important for my listeners. Are you a Christian man?
Yes, I am. Can't you tell?
No.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
You talked about the Bible, but let me tell you that there are a lot of non-Christians who know the Bible. And
don't believe that.
Yes.
Don't believe that it's worth.
I get a lot of calls here. I've been doing this for about 6 years, and I get a lot of calls from men who will call me and they will quote the Bible to me, and they know the Bible, but they're not saved. So if you're a Christian and you understand.
So why do you say they're not saved? What lets you, do they tell you they're not saved?
Yes,
why do you say they're not saved?
They tell me. I ask them. They tell me.
Okay, all right, that's fine. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and I trust Jesus. I also study cosmology, metaphysics. I understand that creative forces are the reason that we exist, and it points to God based on the best information I can ascertain. So I do believe that God exists and that he existed in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus can't be a good man if he was lying to us or a lunatic. So I do trust what the historical Christ had to say.
So you believe in the lordship of Jesus.
Does that classify me as a Christian, in your opinion?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
So in other words, trusting in Christ does
well,
not...
You didn't say that. You didn't say that. You said you believe.
Christ is my Savior.
You have repented and received Jesus Christ as
Christ
your
is my Savior, yes.
And Lord.
Yes.
Okay, so that now let's go. I'm not even going to stay right there, but let me ask you a question: are you looking for a wife?
Well, eventually, but before a wife comes, there's a prerequisite, which would be a girlfriend. We have to date.
No,
see, that's the
no,
thing I
no,
think we get
no.
out of context. We have to date
no,
before
right
we then. Get a wife. And if we acted that way, I think
you.
We could. Come to a better conclusion. We have to date today.
You
can't pick a woman out and say, hey, you're my wife, or she picks me out and say, hey, you're my husband. We have to be compatible, correct?
No, but are you looking for a wife?
Yes.
That's all I asked you. And you're looking so.
No. And I explain because I think we are not in agreement on the processes today. So I answered you in a practical way. But the answer would be yes. I'm looking more than a wife. I'm looking for a committed relationship. And that's what marriage means.
Okay, so how do we get to the point where I become your wife? Do I date you? For how long do I date you before we get married?
We have to talk. We have to get to know each other. We have to spend quality time. See, and I like your questioning. I really enjoy it. It gets me animated because this is what we don't do. This is what we're ignorant of, is how to effect a healthy relationship. So I think your question is quite apropos.
So would you be turned off if a woman told you when you asked her for a date and you went on your first date and then you went on your second date, and I'm going to have to close out this line of questions. But I want to just, for women who are even listening live or listening to the archive, because you are a man looking for a wife, and there are 70% of women in the church who are single, not
I think
only
that's the general population. I don't
not
know
only
if it's...
Okay, that's your statistics. Okay, so not only is it because of their criteria being maybe skewed, but I want to look at it from a man's perspective. What do men look for when they're looking for a wife? What are you
Excellent
looking
question.
For?
You want me to answer? Okay.
Let me ask you two questions. First, answer this one first. Would you be turned off after our second date? We're going on a date. We're going to have coffee maybe and then dinner, which you, of course, are going to be paying for because you're asking me out on a date, right?
Why is that? Can't you ask me?
I know you would. Because I might ask you for a date.
Sure.
Right? I might ask you for a date. So we're on our second date, right, which either one of us might be paying for, okay? We're in 2010, so we're out on a date. Either one of us might be paying for the date. So if I say to you...
I'd like you to pay for it. I'd like you to pay for the first date. To show me that you're the woman of quality. And that maybe I'll pay for the next five, but I want you to pay for the first one. To show me.
Then you should make that before you say, we want to go out on the date and I want you to pay for it.
I agree. And we should talk about this, but go ahead.
If you can find a woman of God who will agree to that, the first problem is most women of God already know that the Lord provides. And if you are a provider, which is what a woman of God is looking for, you would be providing even for that date. And the cost of that date would be irrelevant if it leads you to find a good wife. It's not.
Well, that's true. That's true. If what you say.
Hold on.
Let me make this point because I'm agreeing with you. Men meet a lot of stray women.
Well,
you have to be a little. Wait a minute. Let me just finish this point.
In the real.
Men meet a lot of stray women that don't prove to mean anything to them.
For the privilege
in,
company.
In the issue of fairness.
I'm going to have to interrupt here just for a second. We have a caller who has been trying to get on the. We only have about 20 minutes because I did extend because this is.
Let me finish my point, though, if you will, because I want to finish my point as a man.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. See, what happens is many men act out what they don't say, and many men are avoiding women or treating them like a trick because that's the way many women are behaving. Remember, there were harlots. There were women playing the harlot out of their father's house in Israel. Now, when they caught them, they stoned them. But the point of it is, don't think that there are not a lot of women playing game under the guise of being Christian women. So what I propose is that the first date
will not
be a date where you get to know each other. A lot of women use first dates as a means of just getting meals and drinks from men.
That's a game.
If a man is serious, he wants the woman to be serious.
You're
and generally, he doesn't know if she's serious. So if a woman is really serious, I say she should pay for the first date. And the thing of it is that the man is not her husband. He's not even her boyfriend. He's just a stranger trying to get to know her. So he doesn't owe her anything.
And she, on the other hand, is a stranger trying to get to know him, and she doesn't know him anything, which is why Dutch, because you haven't bought anything. When you sit there with a cup of coffee, you pay for your coffee, I'll pay for mine, and
good.
At the end of the day,
that's
we'll
good.
Decide whether there's going to be another coffee sharing session.
That's
I don't
good.
Know.
I'm with you.
I like that. Hold on, Richard and Gazelle.
You asked me out on a date. And
I was talking to Rebecca, but that's okay. The lady made a good point, and we're on point on that. Wonderful. Proceed.
Well, let me get this other caller on. Hold on. Just hold on. Area code 954, you're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. Sister Rebecca, I'm so sorry that we have not been in contact with each other for a while, and I'm enjoying the discussion. But let me say two things to my brother. First of all, I'm a very mature man. I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a man in all sense of the word. I'm a man. I was out on a dating scene. I know what that's all about. Two things, my brother. One, it seems like you have a very bad disease called foot and mouth disease. Second, I'm just listening to what you're saying. Second of all, like listen to what I'm saying.
Observations for you too.
Excuse me?
I may have some observations for you.
You didn't hear what I said again. You didn't hear nothing I said yet, and then you got to observate me. I'm married. I'm happy.
In the mouth, so that's not a nice way to start off.
Well,
you wouldn't be
saying,
telling anybody you respect.
Listen to what I'm saying, please, sir. This is probably one of your reasons why you're not happily married.
Amen.
70% of women aren't married. What do you have to say to that?
Say what?
70% of them. See, this man is weak. I can tell from his argument, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Oh!
But go ahead.
Okay, Richard, I'm going to mute you. Hold one second. Go ahead, sir. Man of God, continue speaking.
You don't bring a knife to a gunfight for the brother. You don't do that because that's not good. And then when we are godly men looking for godly women. So, therefore, our focus and our approach cannot be like I'm trying to get up with some hussy on the street. Because hussy is what you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas.
All right, now.
So, now, when you want a woman of God, then you don't approach her. And that's what society is so bad, because two, it's a woman and it's a man thing, because women, when they come to church, they got all this out, and so you advertise that I don't want marriage, I just want a sugar daddy. Two, the brother, when you go and see this your lady, and you know what you're getting because of what she's advertising. And then the lady that is who's living holy, you know, okay, 3 dates and I ain't going to get in the bed with her because she's holy. So
yeah.
You don't even want to talk to her. You don't even want to talk to her because that's not what you're after. But when you look for a wife, when you are a godly man that's living holy before God, and you're looking for a wife, a helpmeet, then your approach and your focus is different. My wife, I've watched her, I've seen her. I was the organist for the church. And when the first day I walked in that church, they just hired me. And I walked up to the organ. I was sitting in the church, and I looked at the back door, and the Lord said, "That's your wife."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. It was about 5 years before I even said anything to her.
My God.
I just watched. And I watched how she served God. I watched how she served the church. I watched what her heart was. And then when I did, the Holy Ghost said, "All right, now go pursue." And I walked up to her and I said, I want to date you with intentions of marriage.
God.
Not just to see if we can get in the bed or whatever, but the pastor even told me, he says, if you're serious, then you, he said, if you're not serious about this young lady, don't even talk to her. And I didn't even talk to her, you know, more than saying, "Hello, how you doing? Hey, sis, how you doing?" Something of that nature. But when I was serious and I said, "Lord, I'm really ready for a wife," the Lord said, "Now go and get her." And we've been, look, we have our challenges, but overall, we've been happily married ever since. And that's going on 12 years. Next month, the 6th of June, we'll be married 12 years. Happily. We had our issues. We had our things. So I'm just saying, you know, you got to focus on really what you want and what not just what she's going to give you, but what you're going to give her. And it's more about what you're going to give her than what she's going to give you. The woman is a receiver. That's why she's built the way she is. The man is the giver. That's why he's built the way he is. So when you consummate your marriage, you're giving her. Let's go to this. Now let's go to this. And I'm not going to take up a lot of your time, Pastor Rebecca. But watch this. The Bible says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from God." Then it goes on and says, men love your wives. Women respect your husband.
All right.
Don't tell the woman that she got to love us. She said, in the Bible says, respect. But it's my job to love.
Mm.
So people are coming up with marriages and relationships all out of the will of God. That's why you're looking. That's why stuff is not working. That's why things are not going, because you're not successfully getting husbands and wives. Woman of God, I heard you speaking earlier, and I'm praying with you. I'm standing with agreement. And listen, because the more you seek and pursue God, then God is going to send you what he wants you to have, not what you want to have. Because we look at that, oh, he got this, he got that, but you don't know. You don't know what kind of jerk you getting. You don't know what kind of fool you getting. And I mean, like the brother on the line, man, brother, grow up. You got to change your mindset. You got to get holy before God. Get holy before God, and God will lead you to the woman. She might have 2 or 3 kids.
Okay.
And you might have 2 or 3 kids.
All right.
Hey, man.
So, like somebody said, go ahead, I'm sorry. So, like I said, don't want from the woman what you can't give her. Oh,
yes,
you got to be a virgin.
I'm going to let you back on the air, but there will be no cursing and no fighting. Amen. I mean, man of God, I was really surprised to hear that coming out of your mouth. So I'll just respect the platform, Richard. I don't know if you have anything to say. Are you still with us?
Well, yeah, shortly. But let me say this. I think in the church we're very, very hypocritical. Jesus used some of the most caustic words possible for people who were that way and their behavior. You read where he talked about, woe, you hypocrites, you vipers, you serpents, you whited-washed tombs. Now, I'm not saying that to anybody here, but the gentleman who just spoke, let's be clear on this. There are plenty of divorced people in the church who believes what he said. That's not the answer. Now, it may have worked for him because there were other things that were compatible between he and his wife. He may be a good woman, he's a good man, so they met regardless of their ideology. So, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
I'm listening.
I heard the sound. She told me to speak, sir. I'm trying to make this point here. What I'm saying is this, is that there are problems. Now, we can try and hypocritically dump everything on me, but the point of it is the problems are still in the church. There's still a high divorce rate, higher divorce rate in the church than there is in the general population. So the church really doesn't have a testimony with respect to talking to non-believers, because their circumstances are worse. And you can check out George Barner. He does demographic and statistics, but I think we already have accepted that. So the point is this. Men and women are at war right now, particularly black men and women. We need to come to the peace table. We need to talk this over. We do not have the answers, and that is plain for a blind person to see. So we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it repetitively. We need to prioritize it, which we haven't done, and that's the reason I believe we've been failures at it. So we need to put some real science and real education and real practical standards to this this horrible circumstance, because without strong families, we can't build communities or businesses, nor can we compete with other people who are competing with us. So we can hide our heads in the sand if we want to, but let me tell you, that leaves a clear target for the enemy.
Okay, let me ask you this question. I want to just, as we have the last 8 minutes of the broadcast, what are you doing as a part of the solution?
Well, okay, that's a good question. I wrote the 7 principles to love, sex, and dating. I also talk to women specifically because I understand where the power module is about the superficial things that they use in order to exclude men that they should not use. That is height, age, whether a man is cute, entitlement, that is, he's got to pay for me, so on and so forth. And also women reject men for being too nice, which is absolutely ludicrous. So, and I also talk about the several, my background is engineering, so I actually design models, very simple models. The other thing is this, is that, and I speak on panels, I call up wonderful radio shows like yours, and I mean that. And also I tell people the 3 ways of meeting. A introduces themselves to B, the man to the woman to the man, that's B to A, and C is known as a referral, which I consider the best way to meet, which gets all of us involved as a village. All of us should be involved in connecting quality men and quality women. And I use God as the original matchmaker, as the foundation and marching orders for that. So I try to do education and community service. I've been blessed, so I try to give back in the form of guidance. But make no mistake about it, we are in a problem. It's going to take all of our collective minds to fix this problem. And we need to stop being hypocritical about the existence of the problem and the fact that we have solutions to the problem, because we don't. Not as of yet.
We do. Okay.
May I respond? May I respond to that, please?
Yes, and then I will respond, and then we'll be going off the air. So, Richard, I want to just thank you for being here with me, and also Gazelle. Go ahead, man of God. You respond, and then I will respond.
First of all, in dating, there is no sex. That's the problem. That's why you got so much divorce, because people
have had sex.
In dating, in Christian, holiness dating, there is to be no, I reiterate, no, N-O, no touching, no feeling, no groping, no riding, no nothing. Because, see, once you go into the sexual realm, now you have come, you brought yourselves together, and you have not found the godly chemistry to you. You get married because the bed was good. But see, after 3 months, that bed ain't going to be so good no more.
Come on now.
Now we got real issues. Oh, now you're the wrong one. I married the wrong person. Because
now because
you done did the last thing first.
Yes.
And not the first thing last. And so now, when you're talking about, I'm only talking about one way, and the answer is holiness. Pray,
yes.
Holiness.
Yes.
That's why you got all this other stuff, statistics and all this other junk, because people are not praying. If you got the Holy Ghost and I got the Holy Ghost, there's something, and if God, the Bible says that who God joined together, let no man put asunder.
Come on now.
I'm done.
Right.
I'm done. Thank you.
Amen.
I'm not finished, but I'm going to stop.
Amen. So there is an answer.
And of God, I thank you for coming here today. We need more like you. And you keep right on believing because God sent you your wife. And if Richard would follow after your example, God would send him one too.
Perfect.
Amen.
Perfect. My wife, she's not perfect. I'm not perfect, but she's a perfect fit.
Yes. And I see, I just have to just speak of Richard. I just appreciate your endeavors because you are looking at the problem and trying to come up with solutions.
Well, you know what? Let me just say this. Now, I agree with what the gentleman just said, and this is the fact of the matter. If we would ever come together intelligently, we could actually come up with answers that would be satisfactory. I agree with him. Sex should not be involved. But listen to this. There has got to be something to replace it, and I say it should be effective communication. But look at this. We've got to meet. We don't have a plan for meeting. We overlook that critical area. If nobody initiates, nothing starts. And like I say, there are three possibilities for initiating, and we do all three of them badly. That's my point.
Exactly, but we could do better.
That's my point.
You got to have faith to succeed. You don't even believe in the process that God has put before us. If we use the word of God and apply that word of God to our lives, if we put Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not just Savior, but if he's King of Kings in our lives and we put him first and we adhere to the principles that have been put forth in our Bibles, then we can have success in dating and finding a wife and finding a husband. And then not only that, but God will make stuff happen for you. There are things that you don't even have to do. We don't even have to be concerned with all of this stuff because the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else will be added unto us. So we got to put things in the proper perspective, put God first, put his word first, put his word into motion in our lives, have a relationship first and foremost with Jesus Christ, believe the word of God, and move forward in faith. God will give us, he will tell you which way to go. He'll tell you who to talk to, like the man of God said, who your wife is, who your wife isn't.
Pastor Rebecca, let's go into the overflow. The computer live show is going to shut down in a minute, but the line will still be open. And as they listen to your archives, they'll hear what we finished. If we could just give me 10 or 15 minutes, I would love to talk a little further about this.
Amen. Amen. I'm gonna do that. We're going to the overflow. I'm not going to add more time, so those who are on the line will be on the line. But listen to the archives, blogtalkradio.com/power, because we're going to finish this up in the overflow. And then we're going to go off the air because I have a 5 o'clock service to attend tonight. But what I want to say, I want to just continue to say, Richard, my brother, listen, let God's word be your determining factor. Let his word be the light that guides you as you.
Well, wait a minute. It is. First of all, I wish you wouldn't say that anymore, because I'm going to tell you, it is. But still, God gives us a brain, and we have to work things out. That's why it says, and I'm going to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:21 again. It says, prove everything. That's you prove it. Not God prove it. God already knows it.
Being a Christian is not something you do sitting on the bench of life.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, and this is another thing, I'm about solutions. So what I'm saying is, we need to have groups, focus groups, that deal with these issues. That it, like if we consider ourselves more studied or more knowledgeable, then we need teachers that teach the right thing. Because obviously, whatever has been taught is not working. We wouldn't have the high divorce and high singleness rate we do if it were working. It's not working.
Let me ask you another question. The God's system is not broken.
God's system. Our means of effecting God's system, or even a good man's system, is broken, and we need to acknowledge that.
Yeah, yes, Richard, but we also need to acknowledge that God's way is God's way, and we can't monkey with it, we can't fix it, we can't analyze it, we can't change it.
Yes, we can, because you're doing that now. You're telling me what you think it is.
And come together and talk all you want to. Richard, you called a married man of God weak. There's something wrong there.
What he said to me, he started, okay, look, if you guys like that guy, okay,
he's
if you
not
don't like me, so the point of it is I was responding to his saying,
he's
somebody that you
have
your foot in your mouth,
he's
not a nice way to open a conversation.
To, and you're not listening. He's trying to. He's trying to show you how you can become just like him, married, happy, and following God's word.
Unless he is presenting a quality woman as a choice,
you want to do it your way, and until you do it God's way, you will continue to have the same problems you've been having. No matter how many, no matter how many call-ins you do, no matter how many people you look to tell you that your way of thinking is correct, you need to do it God's way.
Now, you're a woman. You're trying to tell a man something. Is that what I understand you to be doing?
Woman of God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Let me say this then.
A woman of God. Any person of God trying to tell you something.
No, but I can say that, look,
and
you're just talking to me.
Okay.
And I can say that respectfully,
Adam
I don't
Eve
think you know what you're talking
about. Adam didn't do all the talking and not listen to Eve. Was nobody there but the two of them. You had to listen to her.
I'm going to have to mute you. I'm going to have to mute because you can't both talk at the same time.
Don't mute me. Mute her.
Okay. You can't both talk at the same time. So what we'll do, Pastor, you have something to say. Let's just take a deep breath because you guys, I mean, I understand totally what's going on here. It is the battle of the sexes, and Richard.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
You asked the question. You said to this. Now that's wrong. I'm gonna tell you wrong. You said you're a woman trying to tell a man what to do. That was wrong. So
I don't think she's in a position to tell me what to do.
You said
she's
right?
not.
She
Unless
is
she's
not.
Presenting
okay,
some quality women, she is available herself. I respectfully will say to her, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
May I speak as a man? May I speak as a man to another man? One thing. God has instituted a formula for dating, and the world has instituted a formula for dating. And we that are men of God, we must follow the formula that God has instituted. First thing, when you see a young lady and you say, well, okay, I'm attracted to her, what I see so far, then the first date is never you and her alone. It's you, her, and some friends, whether it be your friends, her friends, or a combination of both. Because, see, what you want to first see is how does she interact.
Right, right.
Because we all, look, brother, hey, man, I'm with you. I'm with you in
yeah.
this. I'm with you. I want to help
so
you.
So we're together. We're right on this.
But, see, what I'm saying is I want to know what kind of woman I got. So I want to step back. I want to look at how does she interact with people, because if that's the way she interacts with people, then that's going to be the way she interacts with me. If she's fussing and cussing and screaming and all that, but guess what? You're in next. It might be a little while, but you're going to see that. What I always say to people, do not, watch this, brother, do not ignore the signs. Stop sign
okay.
in the road. Guess what? Stop signing in the road. What does that mean? Stop. Don't keep going. Stop. This side, speed limit 55. What does that mean? 55. Don't do 90 in a 55 because you're going to get in trouble. Don't ignore. Ignore. So while you're pursuing and looking and going after this woman, watch who she is. Watch how, if she has children, watch how she interacts. If she don't have children, nieces and nephews or children around her, watch how she interact with people, interact with church. How does she praise? How does she worship? What is she in the house of God? What is she doing? Quiet as is kept, we can imitate and we can play like we are, who we are and how we are around each other, but so long. Because after a while, the truth is going to come out. And see, when you see the truth, the Lord says, but I've been showing you the signs all the time, but you ignored them.
Right, right.
Don't ignore, and let me say one more thing, in love. I'm saying this to you, Brother Richard. My name is Pastor Stephen Amaker. I'm saying this to you in love.
Can you hear me, though?
Yes, we can hear you, Richard.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with virtually everything you're saying. I mean, once we got beyond the beginning.
Let me say this before you go, before you talk. Your level, and I'm just saying this from what I observe in this conversation just now, your level of respect towards women has to come up a whole lot. It has to come up a whole lot, brother. And I'm telling you, as a man to man, mono on mono, man to man, as one intelligent man to another intelligent man, you're not crazy, you're not stupid, you're not dumb. I perceive that. But I'm saying, in all respect, and please, don't throw it back at me, but receive. Receive what I'm saying. Your level, brother, of respect towards women in general.
All right, let me explain something to you, sir. I have a high degree of respect for women, but
I just asked you not to throw it back at me. I say what I just observe and what I've seen.
Okay, but let me make the point, because I do have the right to clarify. I see women as equal. I stand up for women all the time. In fact, my seven principles were written to empower women. Because if a woman is doing something that is inflicting pain upon herself, the best thing I can do for her is to show her how to become empowered. Now, I don't kiss up to women, and I'm not a weak man who just sits back and let women run everything, and I'm not saying that you are either, but a lot of men are. Look,
men and women
need to talk. Now, we're having a microcosmic conversation right now. We're having a very small conversation, and that's fine. This conversation honestly needs to be spread to black men and women at large, because we are at war. We are at war. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube and read RIP Black America. That's Rest in Peace Black America. Now, when I meet a quality woman, I mean, it's just like meeting a quality man. And I agree with you, there should be no sex. But we don't have dating standards. We do not have a dating protocol.
Yeah.
Number one, nobody wants to get involved. Now, like, I should not, men and women obviously can't make the connections that need to be made. Hence, they're not making them. We need other people like yourself to say, hey, here's a quality man, here's a quality woman. You be the Christ. You be the mediator that brings them together. And so we're not doing that. We're just getting people who are issuing out things that other people should do, but they're not getting involved.
Okay.
So my principles gets everybody involved in this cake we're baking. We need all the ingredients, not people sitting on the sideline telling other people what to do, because it's obvious that the people don't know what to do. If you have 70% of black women that are single and you have virtually an equal amount of black men, but they're just not as vocal, then they don't know how to do it. We need to work on it as a group.
Okay.
Brother Richard.
I have to go. But I want to just say this. Richard, what we have to do, if you want to be successful, even in corporate America, I learned when I was working at Merrill Lynch and I started as a cashier and worked my way up to a broker.
I am successful.
Well, if you want to be successful, and this is, we're talking about faith to succeed, if you want to be successful in anything in life, it's important to have a mentor. You know, it's important to have somebody, look at somebody who's doing it, and then model yourself, model your behavior after that person. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, well, of course, and that's, this is the thing. There are words called synonyms, spelled differently and mean the same. We're saying the same thing.
Okay.
We just need to empower that thing to be done. I know what success means. I teach people how to be successful. I'm successful. I know what that is.
Richard, you have to remain teachable. Listen to me. This is what I'm saying to you. If you believe that in that concept, then here you have a man of God who's married, who has successfully found his wife, but you got to be willing to listen to him, even on a smaller scale. Even
I listen and agree with him.
Exactly.
I listen to him, I agree with him. But he doesn't know where a woman is that most men who are single can talk to, nor does he know, now tell me if I'm wrong, he doesn't know where single men and women are that are willing to meet and talk to each other to establish connections. That's what we need.
Pastor, give him the address of your church.
And I'm going to give him my phone number, 754. Write the number down, please, sir.
I will write it down, and I'll call you, too.
I want you to. That's why I'm giving it to you, 754-244-6585. I'm in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Where are you, Richard?
I'm in L.A.
Where are you in L.A.?
Oh, okay.
LA, okay.
So now I understand why your struggles are the way they are. You say I'm originally from New York, so I know the
place. I'm in New Jersey, so
please don't do this. Please don't single me out.
No.
Let me tell you about my husband. I met my husband in a bar.
Okay. Part of the majority group, so don't single me out.
Okay.
No.
I met him in a bar, and he was a new person in the church, and he saw me, and he just liked me. You know, I mean, he might have been a short skirt too, but
who wouldn't like you? I like you after talking to you.
God bless you. Thank you. But I did, and that's what we did. We started talking, and we spent a lot of time talking, and that's what
talking,
we have to
talking.
Do. But let me tell
talking.
You something. We got to. It has to be on smaller scale because you're looking big. Your vision is big, Richard. But we have
you understand
to
what I'm saying? I just want to ask this one question, and I'll listen to you the rest of the time unless you ask me a question.
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
No, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the gist what I'm saying.
Frustrations. Yes, I do. I do. And I'm
saying, go ahead.
Do you have a church home?
No. He doesn't.
Wait a minute, I'm listening. What did you? What question did you ask?
Do you have a church home?
No, I listen to scripture. No, I go to some churches, but no, I don't go to one all the time, no. But that does seem someone was judging then, saying, no, you don't have to be in a church. Remember when the...
You can tell, Richard.
Remember when the disciples came to Jesus?
There it is.
And said, these people are not of us. See, that's the thing. Everybody doesn't have to be the same as you be.
We're not. What I'm saying is, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling together yourself," and it says, "Come
that's
to the
problem.
House to worship."
Right
there. The
kind of group that you can do that with, then that's fine. But you got to realize, a lot of people in the church are pharisaical, and they're
just
the
problem, sir. Richard,
and
that's
jerks.
The problem.
It
that's
is.
The problem.
That's my problem, not the church's problem. People are leaving the church today. Did you know that?
See, that's the problem. You don't even have faith. That's it. You don't even have faith in the power of the corporate assembly.
No, I do. But it's got to be according to the right principles.
Who
you guys like to beat up on people?
No. I'm sorry, man of God. He's not looking for the right principles. He's looking for his principles.
Is this woman talking again? Lady, please.
And see, and that right there is the reason why Richard hasn't found the woman of God.
What about you? Are you in a relationship?
Home.
Hold up, because now...
It's not
let me ask her, are you in a relationship?
We're acting immature.
She has a headache.
This woman who thinks she knows something, let's find out something about her. Is she married? Do you know?
No, I'm not married.
You're shielding her.
Oh, man. Come on, brother.
Come on.
I thought you wanted to go somewhere.
I am a woman of God. I don't need anyone to shield.
Are you married? No. I can't hear you. Are you married?
Brother. I thought you wanted something. I really did.
See, the woman right now, sir, if allow me to speak to her. She's a mature woman. Is she married? Are you married, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I see. Now, you're going to tell me.
Neither are you. Not being married disqualifies me. It disqualifies you, too.
First of all, do you initiate contact with men?
On a regular basis. I own my own business.
And that's right, Richard. You're not married. You're not married. There's a distinct difference between the two of you. She is willing to sit and be taught every day.
But you know her, and you like her. Admit it.
Come on, man.
I
love her, as a matter of fact.
Look, brother.
Member of your church?
No, sir, I'm in
Georgia. I'm in New Jersey.
I've been to Pastor Simmons' church. Never met the woman in my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm in
Georgia. You're in L.A. Your problem is, one, you don't have a church home, sweetheart.
Now, notice what she's doing. Now see,
so
if
often,
people were
before
there,
you start yelling,
can she, without knowing me, tell me what my life is like? She doesn't know.
You
she's
just
being
said.
In the name of Jesus. Peace. In the name of Jesus. Because we're mature people, first of all. And then if a person is not teachable, they cannot be taught. And so then we're wasting and we're spinning our wheels in the mud with people who do not want. You know everything, then obviously what you're doing is working for you. And if you don't know anything, then we'll listen to each other and be taught. I'm married, but whatever you people are saying that I can apply to me to be a better husband, to be a better father, never mind a pastor, but to be a better husband and to be another better father, then I'm listening. And I'm receiving, and I'm taking in. But we cannot have this kind of dialogue and learn. Because one thing, as all of us get married, one thing I found out, nobody hears nobody when we're screaming and shouting at each other. And when we're talking with each other in anger. But if you're talking nice and calm, I can hear every word you say. And not just hear with my ears, but hear with my heart. And so then I can receive what you're saying. But if we are always pushing it back to each other, well, you this, and well, you that, and well, are you this, and are you that, then we're not going to be successful in this time. And the Lord brought me here only for all of us, our success today,
yeah.
It's for our success, not for our demise, not for our putting down each other. I'm not here to do that. That's not my focus, because I got enough folk right here in Fort Lauderdale I can put down. I don't have to go to L.A. I don't have to go to Jersey. I don't have to go where the other sister is, but that's not what I'm here for, because if you want the things of God, you want to be successful, then Richard, call me. Sis, write my number down. The other young lady on the line, write my number down. I give it to you again. 754.
No, I have it. Thank you. Let me make this point just quickly. Am I still on? I hope you hadn't muted me.
It's over. And I just want to go out on that note, you know, really, that we do have the ability to succeed. Joshua says it so well. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God says it so well where the Lord came to Joshua. And I just want to turn to that, because we really have to focus not on our philosophies, not on metaphysics or our opinions, not on any surveys we've done, and not on our thoughts, but God's thoughts, which are way higher than ours, and really let God be in control. God has to be in control for us to be successful. Other than that, all we're going to do is be spinning our wheels. And none of us have any answers outside of the Word of God. And here
right.
In Joshua chapter 1, it's starting, I believe it is, verse 6, and it reads, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded. Thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And with God on your side, Richard, Gazelle, Pastor, with God on our side, we cannot lose. You can look at it as the world looks at it, but as for me, I know, and Richard, you know, Gazelle, Pastor, we have the mind of Christ. We have been given the mind of Christ, which is the spirit of wisdom. And God will guide us through the Holy Ghost. He will take us where we need to go to meet that person that's going to be our husband, our wives, or that person that we're going to spend the rest of our lives with. And when we get that person, and when we marry that person, the Holy Spirit, that's how, Richard, that's like when you called, I was talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will show us, no, that's not right, no, you shouldn't say that, no, that's not right, how to treat that husband or that wife. And in the meantime, the women and the men that we encounter along the way, we never know if we're entertaining our future husband or our future wife. So we need to let God work on us so that we could be submissive, so that we could be humble. Amen. Under the mighty hands of God, so that we can receive what God has for us. God needs to work out our character flaws, and we all have them. But God needs to work that stuff out in us through the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us. We got to receive the fruit. We got to receive. But look, God's word is true. God will make us into the people that he needs to make us into so that he can guide us to the people that he has ordained for us to be married to. We try to figure us out so much, and God is only saying, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. Let me be your Lord. Let me be your God. Walk with me and talk with me. Be in relationship with me. Go to the house of the Lord. Hear my word. Faith comes by hearing. Not just reading, that's logos, but hearing, which is rhema, which is the utterance, the spoken word, hearing the word of God, so that we can have true change in our lives, so that we can't say that the church has a higher divorce rate, so that we can't say there's no good man in the church, no good women in the church. Women, you have to cover it up. We do need to cover it up. No man, I get so sick of men saying women in the church looking like who's mamas and whores. Come on, cover that stuff up. We need to cover ourselves up. We need to walk holy. We need to forsake even the appearance of sin. And we need to learn how to get along with each other as men and women of God so that we can truly represent the kingdom of God. God has to get
Amen.
The glory in our lives.
Amen.
And Pastor, you're so right. We didn't come to argue with each other. We came to build each other up. Brother Richard, I love you. I love you, Sister Gazelle. I love you,
Me
Pastor.
Too.
I thank
Me
God
too.
That all of you
Me
came.
Too.
I believe that something will occur as a result of this conversation. I believe that we have all been changed. I believe that we have been stupid. And Richard, I encourage you to find the church home. We're not judging you. We're just saying that there is strength in numbers. And the forum that you need to set up, you might be able to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, let's set up this forum. And out of that, another one can be birthed. And then another one can be birthed. But you got to submit yourself to somebody, man of God. You have to submit yourself to someone.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's going to be a big part of the vision and the dream that God has put in your heart for you to have brothers and sisters, especially of color, black brothers and sisters, come together and live together in unity and peace. And we can marry each other. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to go. Brother Richard, come back and see me. I'll be here next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Sister Gazelle, thank you so much for coming. Pastor, I'm just going to ask you to pray us out. Thank you.
Father, we thank you right now. We thank you right now that you have uniquely and strategically brought this meeting together. There's a work that you're birthing in and out of us, even in this meeting. And we hear the cry of the people in the land. We hear the cry. I hear the cry. I hear the necessity. I hear the cry. I hear what people are saying. And we're coming because we want to, yes, be not the problem, but the solution. And we thank you right now for each one of us, for Pastor Rebecca, who is continuously and faithfully doing the work of the Lord, for the other pastor that she's continually to do the work of the Lord, and even that you were not only just lead, but fill us even more with the Holy Ghost, with your Spirit. Because once we have that, then we can hear and receive and clearly do what you have us to do. In Jesus' name, go to L.A. and touch my beloved brother's mind, his spirit, and his heart. Obviously, he has a heart for you, but there are some issues that need to be dealt with that honor you, not me. Not Pastor Rebecca, no other body, but only you can minister to him so that his heart and his spirit will receive and embrace so that maybe, we don't know right now, he might be the foremost marriage authority that this generation has ever seen because of what you're doing in us today. So I pray for him, and I pray for all of us, that we will continue to walk according to your will and to your divine love. In Jesus' name, the Lord loves all of you.
Yeah.
He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, Richard. He loves you, Pastor. He loves you, Pastor Rebecca. He loves you. He loves you, Pastor Amica. He loves you. Embrace his love. And once we understand the love of God and how it works and the love is in us, then we can love our wife. We can love our husband. We can love our children. We can love our community. We can love ourselves even more. In Jesus' name, be blessed. I love you guys.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Thank
Richard, call me, man.
Giselle, I want to encourage you, God sending your husband. You keep doing what you're doing. Stay faithful to the Lord, and he shall surely bless you. Brother Richard, I want to encourage you. You are a torchbearer for relationships between black men and black women. Don't let
yes.
that fire go out. Keep that
yes.
fire. Keep that zeal to have us come together on one accord. And don't get your church home. I'm going to encourage you in the Lord
yes,
you to get
please.
Your church home.
Please,
and
please,
also,
please.
Pastor, I want to, your show is on at 5, right?
5 this
Pastor,
afternoon.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. What's the name of your broadcast?
Deliverance by Faith. Deliverance by Faith. Today we're talking about spiritual abortion.
Yes, my God. That's
what we got. So from this to spiritual from this to spiritual abortion, I love. We're gonna have a time in that.
Well, I'm gonna listen to the archives because I'll be at church at 5 o'clock.
Right,
I have
right,
my
right,
minister,
right.
She's preaching out today, and I'm going to support her. But I just want to encourage you all, go for faith, love the Lord, and I must go. So God bless you.
Yes. God bless.
Amen.
Okay,
bye bye. God bless you, Richard. I love you. Amen. Love you, Giselle. And
bye.
Bye-bye, my sister. Thanks for tuning in. And
you're welcome.
Everybody listen to the archive. We had a time in the Lord today.
Yes.
God is good and worthy to be praised. I thank everybody that called in. I mean, my God, it's just been an awesome time. And I know we have definitely come deeper into the things of God on today. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Know that God loves you, and so do we right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until next week at 1 o'clock. I'll see you. Know that I love you and God loves you. Amen.
Yes,
he does have
God
a great
bless.
Plan, so have faith to succeed.
Okay.